And you are listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO Radio on this Thursday, February the 26th in the year of our Lord 2015. And being a Thursday and a Ruminations Thursday where we as two pastors begin to talk about an issue that you might be reading about in the daily newspaper, we're here to welcome our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Pastor Baker.
Where were you Saturday? What's the matter?
Yeah, right. I was digging myself out of 10 to 12 inches of snow up here in Springfield.
Wow. Yeah, that was a shame. We had the seminar, and there were a number of people who just weren't able to make it. Well, we're looking at having the second one the last Saturday in April, so people can start writing that down. I still have to get the okay of the church where we're having it at, but it looks like that probably will go through. There's nothing else going on that day. But we really missed you, and people saw Mark Smith, and we were looking forward to, you know, having you there, but maybe next time, eh?
Yeah, looking forward to it.
You chose a pretty good topic today that I think is on the minds of a lot of people, and that is, you know, there's, you know, obviously a problem between Christians and Muslims, and especially radical Muslims, but there's a group, and they have a title of a common word. Well, what's their goal?
Their common word is that they have a common ground for the basis of interfaith dialogue, as they put it, and a common ground that hangs together for the law and the prophets, which they're taking all the way from for the Islamic community. It starts with Adam as their first prophet and runs continuously to Muhammad.
Yes. And what they try and do in this article is show the common agreements, they think, between Christianity and the Muslim faith. And they feel the whole first part is that it appears that both religions say there are two commandments, the one to love God and the other to love the neighbor.
Yes, and you know, the more I read that, it's the common ground from the Muslim perspective or the Islamic perspective than it is. It, I would say, kind of cherry picks the scriptures.
Yes, when they're going to the Bible, I really believe that the problem with the common word is they don't know the distinctions between law and gospel.
I think that's a great insight as you take a look at it, because really it comes down to, wouldn't you say, a good works ethics of how we're supposed to worship God.
Yes. In fact, they quote the a Muslim material and talks about this prayer, and it says, "It thus ends with prayers for grace and guidance, so that we might attain salvation by those who believe and do good works." You see, they think that's what Christianity teaches, in this view that you should love your neighbor as yourself. So that's the first problem with this common word, is that they're describing Christianity in a way that doesn't fit.
No, and well, yeah, you start there. I start with the view of God. There really are two different gods. The God that they call Allah, it really is not the God of the Old Testament, or for that matter, the God of the New Testament.
Yes, they have a phrase that they mentioned a number of times. I'm going to read it. They're talking about God, that he alone, he hath no associate, his is the sovereignty, and his is the praise. There is no God but God, and reminds Muslims and their hearts of the power of God. Now, the phrase that really bugs me is, he hath no associate. When they talk about Jesus, they put him in the same category as Moses, just a prophet. And the
right.
Final great prophet is Muhammad.
Muhammad. And also they go one step further, too, and call him a messenger of God. In other words, he's not God himself.
Yes, and that's not common ground. You know, these groups that try and find common ground, the only way they really do it is by making Christianity into something that just isn't true. For example, they say this from the Muslim point of view. God enjoins Muslims who truly love God to follow this example of God in order, in turn, to be loved by God.
Hmm.
Now, how does John 3:16 contradict that?
Well, we're thinking alike. I had John 3:16, but I want to go forward. Before we come to John 3:16, I would go to John 15, where Jesus says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And Jesus also says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. So Jesus himself...
And the last part there, without me, you can do...
You can do nothing.
Yes.
And that's the thing. If you read through the Gospel of John, there's a lot of the I ams. You know, if you remember the burning bush with Moses, where God says, I am.
Yes.
Jesus, that distinction comes out in John chapter, all the way through the Gospel of John. John 8, you know, he says, I am the light of the world. John 10, I am the good shepherd. John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so, you know, it is through Jesus. And then when you get to what God really wants, then you go to that John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son.
Yes. And there's another passage, I'll start it off, you finish it, where he's talking about he's the way, the truth. No one comes to the Father...
except by me.
Yes. Now, that's not at all mentioned in this article of Common Word, because they're trying to find places where they have commonalities, but they're really reinterpreting the Christian truths along Muslim lines rather than the unique Christianity that it really affords.
I would absolutely agree that. That I came to that same conclusion reading that material, that it's a long Muslim's line. There's not this common back and forth. If it's really a common essentials, they'd be looking at Jesus as the Son of God and as the Savior of the world.
Yes, and they don't have a Savior in Muslim. Muhammad isn't considered a Savior. He's just considered a messenger. But Jesus becomes the Savior because he takes away our inability to love our neighbor as ourselves. And for them, that's the commonality. In fact, for a lot of people, that's the commonality of all religions. You're to love God and you're to love your neighbor.
Yeah, and haven't we discussed that before where religion really breaks down into do and done? Do you got to do something to merit God's favor. The done part is Jesus did it all on the cross for you.
Yes. Muhammad makes the point that none of you have faith until you love your neighbor what you love for yourself. Mm. Now, you know what Muhammad's talking about there is the love for Allah. And therefore, right. You're trying to get people to become you know, like Muslims, in order to have this same love. Now, as you read through this, I consider there's two kinds of Muslims in the world. There's the radical Muslims, and then there's these moderate. And this is definitely from the moderate Muslim point of view. Would you not agree?
Yeah, that I would definitely agree. There are the moderates that you just don't go out there and bomb and kill people in the name of religion.
If you want to phone us on any of this, then don't hesitate to do so. St. Louis area, 821-0850. Toll free is 1-800-730-2727.
I wanted to go back to that point where you say Muhammad says, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. One of the reasons I used earlier, John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. You know, he gives that command to love one another, but that's connected to Jesus and the life that we have in Jesus, not of our own free will, so to speak.
Yes. What they say, and this is an interesting point, while Islam and Christianity are obviously different religions, and while there is no minimizing some of their formal differences, which, of course, they never mention here, it is clear that the two greatest commandments are an area of common ground. And what they consider the two greatest commandments are love God and love your neighbor. But they are totally misunderstanding that, like in the Sermon on the Mount, look at the things that you would have to do if you truly loved your neighbor. You're unable to do those things. And Jesus even said your righteousness needs to surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees, and here's what you'd have to do. Not understanding that the law is impossible to be obeyed really destroys this common ground between Muslims and Christians.
That's right. And again, John 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Jesus chose us.
We've got a real good friend, Nabil Noor, who has phoned us, who is a vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and also an expert in Palestinian thought. Let's hear from him. Good morning, Pastor Noor.
A blessed morning to you during this Lenten journey. Thank you for a very enlightening discussion. I choose to disagree with you on this one point, in that there is radical Islamic and moderate Islam. Here's what I would use. I would say zealot Muslims as well as secular Muslims. By that I mean the zealots are the one who adhere to every word and every iota of the scriptures that is found in their Quran. The secular are Muslims by name, but not by practice, because by its very virtue, the Quran demands them to be zealots, to destroy the kafir, which is the infidels, to hide behind every rock, to chop every finger until they are converted. Those who you give the term moderate are men and women of the Islamic faith, but have really no connection to the Quran. Because if they are connected to the Quran, they ought to and should be doing what ISIS and Boko Haram and all the others are doing, because that's how their book is written.
Yes, I'd be interested in your response to what I had said yesterday, is it appears that even in the Old Testament, you know, there were rules about putting adulterers to death, homosexuals and such, but we have no longer the need to follow the ceremonial laws, and it appears that within the Islamic faith, they're still taking those items literally, and therefore there really hasn't been, like we've had in the Christian faith, the reformation to bring people back to the proper understanding.
Well, my thoughts are this, you know, if you know much about the Quran, there are those statements that were said by Muhammad that were abrogated, meaning no longer in use and something else.
Yes.
Because God changes along with Muhammad's thoughts, okay? Now, the difference between Christianity's mandates in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, in the Old Testament, when God sent his people to destroy a village or a community or a nationality or people, it was to eradicate the sin. It was not to be continuous. Now, where the civil law is in relation to adultery, which you mentioned, of course, we have the great teacher himself, the author of life and the creator of life and the sustainer of life, Jesus, in John 8, who brings about, you know, go and sin no more.
Yes.
So we have that from the God himself. God did not change his mind. We must say that very clearly.
Right.
What he says is how we apply the ministry. In the olden time, in the Old Testament specifically, it was to eradicate the sin so that it is severe, serious. Be careful. Pay attention. It's almost like the word hine in the Hebrew or edu in the Greek. Pay attention. Close attention. These are words that you need to ponder, pause, and pray about. That's what we have in the New Testament that helps us look at the Old Testament and put those two together. They're not independent of each other. They're a continuation of each other.
I really appreciate that. Any comments, Wes?
I love his explanation. You notice he didn't go with the Reformation. He went with Old and New Testament and how that applies. It's not about a Reformation. It's about how we apply the Scriptures.
Amen to that, dear brother. If you let Jesus lead you, he leads you through the cross to receive the glory. If you let Muhammad lead you, he leads you to glory, and then you end up with the cross in hell.
Yes.
Okay, that's the main difference. And you really need to understand that. Muhammad talks about the Islamic glory, and that's what ISIS is trying to do. And the other thing they are trying to do, and I know I didn't pay attention to the beginning of the show, but you know, they are trying to do something, and I don't know if this was brought up or not. They're trying to bring the invisible imam or the 12th imam. And that's why the chaos is happening right now, because according to the hadith, I think it's volume 4, where they talk about when the 12th imam is going to come, Jesus is going to come back with him as a Muslim. He's going to take the sword and he's going to kill all the Christians first. Jesus himself is going to do this according to their teaching. And then, of course, that will begin the caliphate of all of the Islamic faith over all the whole world. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to bring chaos and confusion.
Yes.
But Jesus is not the author of confusion. He is the God of order. In Romans 8:28, for we know that in all things, panta in the Greek, okay?
Yep.
In all things, God works for good to those who love him in accordance with his purpose. God has a purpose. Muhammad has no purpose but to satisfy the desires of the flesh.
We sure appreciate your call. Thank you very much, Pastor
Noor. Thank you.
God bless. And anybody else can call. The numbers here are in St. Louis, 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Now, I want to bring up an item that I'd like to talk to you about, Wes. They're looking for common ground because they're trying to bring peace between Muslims and Christians, so that Christians would tolerate their point of view. What they don't seem to understand is that we Christians don't need to have common ground in order to permit other people to have other religions, do we?
No. And that's why, you know, really, in a sense, when you look at democracy and its foundations, which reach back into English history, there really were sown by seeds of Christians that we open up and we freely discuss the freedoms that people have, and especially to sit down and talk about the faith. We don't have to put somebody to the sword in order to convert them.
Exactly right. Let's go back to the phone lines, and let's speak with Mike. You're on the air, Mike.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, listening to what you were saying, that all religions have an expanding tradition, and they all have to conform to the modern world, and that's really what's the problem with ISIS. They're fighting against the modern world, but eventually they're going to have to conform.
Well, how do you think Christianity needs to conform?
Well, it already has. I mean, you can see churches are adopting same-sex marriage or more of a tolerance toward homosexuality.
But that's not conforming to the Scripture. That's rebelling against God in the Scripture.
Well, that's what I mean by an expanding tradition where things are written in a holy book, but they disregard it and
okay.
They put a tradition in its place.
All right. I sure appreciate that. That's a pretty interesting insight, and we're seeing that even among some Lutheran denominations, that they're buying into the secular views of the world, and they're therefore ignoring God's clear word.
Oh, boy, did we open a can of worms?
Yes.
Well, you know, and it was the second caller was a great caller, and you put that in juxtaposition to what the Vice President of the Senate just came up and talked to us about. He takes his right to the Scriptures. The other one, it was gives us a worldview of what people have done with Christianity. They've left behind the word and gone to something else.
Yes. They even in this common word say something like this. Muslims recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah, but not in the same way Christians do. Then they say, but Christians themselves anyway have never all agreed with each other on Jesus Christ's nature. Boy. So here they're using false teachers, like, for example, the notion that Jesus is divided his divine nature from his human nature, and therefore when we have the Lord's Supper, we can't possibly be eating the true body and blood because the human nature is up in heaven. So they're using those differences to indicate that Muslim isn't really that far different than Christianity, because even among Christians, there's disagreement.
Right, and the distinction being is whether you take the Bible as the Word of God or you don't take it as the Word of God. If you take it as the Word of God, then you can't make those distinctions.
Exactly. The bottom line is, here's what they say. If we don't have this common ground and understand it, we say that our very eternal souls are also at stake if we fail to sincerely make every effort to make peace and come together in harmony.
Go ahead. Well, you know as well as I do, peace is found, and it was said earlier by our vice president that peace is found through Jesus Christ.
Yes, when Pastor Noor was talking about that, we remember the peace that is said to Jesus to the disciples on the night of the resurrection when they're cowering in fear. And the first words he says, peace be to you, the same words the angel said to the shepherds. It's a peace, not here on earth. I mean, we're still going to have the poor, wars, rumors of wars, but it's a peace between you and God the Father, where there is now no longer any obstacle between being his child because of the work that Jesus Christ has done on the cross, none of which is mentioned in this Common Ground document.
Yeah, exactly. And one step further, we can have peace between each other. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. You know, we have that ability to reach out with that good news and tell that good news of Jesus Christ, what he's done for us. And I think that's a point that should never be lost when we talk to somebody of the Islamic faith, is to talk to them about what Jesus has done for us.
A good example where Christians can be at peace with other denominations or other religions without having to be with common doctrine is found with Israel. They're Jewish. We don't agree with their theology because they don't believe in Jesus Christ, but it doesn't mean we still can't have peace with them. The temporal world, we are to have peace with others, permitting them to believe what they want, and of course using our opportunities to try and share with them the message about Jesus Christ.
I think that's very well said.
Let's go back to the phone lines. I think we can get one more in, and that's Mark. Mark, you're on the air.
Oh, blessed Lenten tide to you both.
Yes.
Thank you.
Quickly, just wanted to add that the terrorists who are committing these atrocities, they have no power to stop doing what they're doing. They're sinning because they're following their flesh and Satan's lead. And obviously they need our prayers so that the Lord can turn them from their evil ways.
Well, like Pastor Noor said, Mark, they're called zealots because they're taking the Quran literally. And in contrast to the secular Muslims, which have very little connection to the Quran. And that's why you're having this difference between the two groups.
Right. Is that correct that they have no, they're sinning because they're following their natural inclination to sin and they have no power to stop it?
As an unbeliever, you really made that point. And that's why we do have missions to the Muslims, and some of them are quite successful. In fact, in Colorado, I know there's a former individual who has reached a lot of Muslims, believe it or not, through the internet. But we sure appreciate your call, Mark. Thank you so much. All righty. We're unable to make any more calls right now. doing any preaching or Bible studies in the near future, Pastor Reimnitz?
I got a couple of weeks off here.
Good. Okay. Well, we'll hopefully be back next week. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, we can continue with Open Mic Friday, it's called. So if you have any questions, you can talk about items that we've been talking about during this week.
I got one for you.
What's that?
Zealot. You know, Noor brought this up, and I thought it was a good point. What's a zealot? Jesus had a zealot on his disciples, did he not?
Yes.
I think that would be one for you to explore a little bit tomorrow.
That's not bad. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll maybe take a look at that. I'm Tom Baker, and you've been listening to myself and Wes Reimnitz as we talk about this document that attempts to bring peace between Muslims because we have such common beliefs. But upon further examination, we find that these aren't common at all. Thanks so very much for listening. Tomorrow, Law and Gospel. God bless.
Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.